broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass each and every night, places other talk shows wish they could go, but they can't. Those are the sounds of the marching boots of people looking for a decent, halfway decent radio show to listen to. Well, by God, you found it. We work very hard here each and every night to keep you informed, to keep you inside the loop on all the vital information. Well, you know what I mean. Anyway, all that other garbage. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. And you can watch live streaming video of the show right now at Phil TV in HD if you have a backstage pass. And having a backstage pass is more valuable today than ever before. If you are a current subscriber of ours, you are what we call a member of our first generation family. And we love you for that. So head over there and get the backstage pass. Or if you've already got one, of course, watch our Phil TV in HD. Later on in the program, we are hopeful that Raj Fanin and actually his brother, Amwan Fanin, will join us as we talk about the anniversary of 9/11. R.C. Collins, a military cadet from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, should be on with us to talk about that as well. And we're going to have some other things happening on the program later on as we get closer. The actual anniversary date of 9/11 is Sunday. We won't be on the air. We'll be on the air on Saturday night on KFI in Los Angeles. And, of course, if you're around the computer or around your iPhone, you can pick us up on the iPhone using your Skyphone browser, or Skyfire browser. Wherever you are, you'll be able to hear us. And I imagine that tomorrow night, Bud, we'll do some observance of 9/11.
Yeah, well, the part of the show, if you can hear us on the East Coast,
yeah, that would make sense. All right, so if our show is getting into the actual day 9/11 on the East Coast, of course we'll do something.
I think we should.
Yeah, we met earlier and we decided on it.
Thank you. That's wonderful of you. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and also in our affiliate Spotlight. Tonight is our San Francisco affiliate, KNEW. We appreciate all that you guys do for us up there in the Bay Area. On the line with me right now from the, actually what's happening out there is a fiesta. It is the semi-annual carnival that they have at Joyful Union Congregation, which is the church that Pastor William Rennick, his wife Clara, and others have been the spiritual guides of for a great many years. We wanted to bring him on because I was talking to you, Pastor Rennick. You there?
I'm right here, Phil, yes.
Okay, you and I were talking about, we were watching the Missouri-Arizona State game. And we were talking, you actually wondered who that young man was that was jumping up and down. That's the quarterback of the Arizona State team.
Yeah.
And you said, you made the comment, why is he jumping up and down in the middle of all the black players?
Right.
Could you explain that? And before you do, I just want to let everyone know, when the pastor and I were talking before we went on the air, we were watching the game together. I'm here watching Missouri-Arizona State, and he was watching it out there at the carnival. And it was right after, I think, Arizona State had scored a touchdown.
Yeah, it was a passing touchdown, and you told me that young man was the, I think it was a quarterback on the Arizona State team.
Yeah.
Here's why I said what I said, and I think it's important for people to know this. Because before I took up the vocation of serving God as a spiritual leader, as a shepherd of this congregation, the Joyful Union, I've been with other churches. I had been an athlete in high school. I'd been an athlete briefly in college. I went to Bob Taylor University, which is in southern Georgia.
And that's an all-black college?
That was an all-black university, yes. And so when I saw that young man who was jumping up and down, I thought that was unusual. And you asked me why. But to give you the shorthand on that.
And again, we're talking about the football game. He had just thrown a touchdown pass.
No, I understand. I know that he was excited about throwing a touchdown pass. I understand that. And I understand why any young man would be excited about throwing a touchdown pass. That's a good thing. But when you go on the sidelines and you celebrate on the sidelines in a football a game. It's very important for you to celebrate with members of your own race. Now, here's the reason why I'm telling you this, Phil. We are just now in this country, we are coming out of, I think, of a negative period, obviously, of race relations are very tense. We had civil rights issues. We had, obviously, the issue of slavery. I think the country's doing better. But right now is a very delicate time in race relations. And we are getting people to work together, black and white, you know.
Right.
Black and white working together for the first time, maybe in the history of the country.
I understand.
We're getting black and white people to work together, building. You know, we're looking at not the World Trade, but the Freedom Tower, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
The Freedom Tower is black and white. A black man and a white man working together on that tower. A black woman and a white woman working together on that tower. Brown people and yellow people. That's America.
Absolutely.
That's America.
Absolutely.
And we are making strides. And I want to get away from...
It's a little loud.
Let me get away from that booth. That's the place. They're raising money over there, Phil. A very, very wonderful, charity for young children, the burn unit at the Children's Hospital.
That is great work, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to just move away. And so, Phil, what we've got here in this country is the nascent step. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The nascent step toward race relations being repaired in this country. And my goodness, can you imagine how great America going to be when that day comes that we truly have all people work together?
Right. But you know...
I'm getting to what I said.
Right, because you were talking about the young man, the young white quarterback.
I'm going to get to what I said. When you're a young white man on a football team, or you're a young black man on a football team, and you with whites and blacks, and your football team, if that's your team, you're wearing a helmet, you're on the field, you're throwing the ball, you're tackling, you're blocking, you're running with the ball, you're doing everything that constitutes a successful effort on a football field. When you get off the field, the helmet comes off. And now you see who your teammate is. We are at a very delicate place in race relations in America today. That when you pull that helmet off on the sideline, and now you see who your teammate is. If you're a black player,
not white.
No, if you're a black player, listen to what I'm saying. If you're a black player, and you pull that helmet off, and now you look down, and you see you got a white standing there, that reminds you. As black players say, oh, yeah, that's right, I got whites on this team. Because it's difficult, you know, when you're on a field and you're wearing a helmet, everybody pretty much looks the same. I used to say to my wife, Clara, say, you know, on a Star Trek TV show, have you ever seen that Star Trek TV show? You know, Phil?
Well, yeah, of course.
Not the first one, but the new Star Trek show?
Yes, sir, I have.
Okay. That show's interesting to me because the Klingon, if you look at the Klingon on a Star Trek TV show, some of them Klingons is black and some of them is white, but you don't care. You understand what I'm saying? You know, all the Klingons are just people you don't like. But if you look at some of them Klingons is white.
Some of the Klingons are white, huh? You mean some of the Klingons are white actors?
Well, yeah, there's some are white actors and some are black actors. What I'm saying is, on the planet there, whatever, you know, it's a fantasy, it's all made up, but I've imagined they've got black and white Klingons, but they don't. It don't make any difference up there on Klingon because they're all evil. You know, they're all together in this evil enterprise, and they all, you know, sort of equal in that. And that's why I think it's very interesting. So when you have a helmet on a football field, you all together, you one team. You take that helmet off on the sideline, and now what you look like? You say, I got a white teammate. I'm a black man. I'm on the sideline of a football game. And I see this white man come up and celebrate with me. The first thought I think of is, I forgot there's whites on this team.
And all right, but if you say I forgot there's whites on the team, what does that do?
That tenses me up a little bit. It tenses me up a little bit. And so what I'm saying is this. On the football field, when your helmet come off on the sideline, that means what you should do is stick with the whites and the blacks stick with the blacks. And that's what we did. And that's what I think is best right now. I'm not saying, Phil, that I want segregation on a football field. Please understand. I'm saying right now, the black needs to stick with the black. If he sees a white man come jumping around and happy and all that, you're going to be reminded of the fact that a white, you know, threw all that white man to the ball.
Well, is this really necessary? Here's why I asked the question. Why can't we train these young men to look at the another guy on that's a white guy on the team? I mean, when they practice.
Well, the practice field is different. Practice field different.
Well, what makes the practice field different?
It's not game condition. It is not game condition. When you're in a game condition, practice field is a practice field. You're not competing. You're not trying to win. You're not trying to lose. You're learning how to catch the ball. That's the man going to throw me the ball. Yeah, sure, I know that's a white man throwing me the ball. During the football game, when you got your helmet on and you're on the field and the other team's got a helmet on, everyone is part of a team. On the sideline, now the helmet comes off and suddenly it comes rushing back to you if you're black. That's right, that's a white man. You know, you. And so what you need to do, we have to slow it down just a little bit.
Well, when we saw that young white man, the young white quarterback for Arizona State jumping up and down, you saw him bounding up and down amidst the black players. Did you see any black players that were upset with him? You know?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Well, okay, so.
But they're going to be polite about it. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to say nothing. But I could see them tensing up, you know, like in their own mind, thinking, what is this white man doing? You know, I know I just scored a touchdown. Who is this? You know, why is he here? What's he doing in the middle of everything we're trying to do? So. That's why I brought that up.
So you saw the young white quarterback of Arizona State. I want to take a break here, by the way. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. If you just joined the conversation, Pastor William Rennick is with us from Joyful Union Congregation. It's his church in Bellflower, California. They're having a festival tonight. But what we're talking about here, Pastor, is on the sidelines of football games. Is this true in Pro Bowl?
I don't know about Pro Bowl. I'm telling you, in college football, when you are beginning big-time football. It's the first time in big-time football.
Okay, you're saying that whites and blacks on the sidelines need to celebrate amongst themselves and not co-mingle because it reminds the black players that, oh, yeah, there's a white man that threw me the football. What about on the other side? That whites are saying, oh, yeah, there's a black guy.
Well, you get into that. If you got a white man who said, oh, yeah, I got to play with black, yeah, now you get into racism.
Why isn't racism the other way?
It's not racism the other way because, no. That's not racism the other way. It's that the black man saying, oh, that's right, there's a white man here. You know, he's trying to get some of my glory. He's not saying that man's a bad man. He's just saying, why can't that white just go over there and celebrate, you know? It's a different thing. It's a different thing.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, as we talk with Pastor William Rennick. And this all just came about watching the football game tonight. White players, black players, when they celebrate on the sidelines, according to Pastor Rennick, stay with your own race because race relations are still fairly unsettled in our country. And we're getting better, but you remind each other, blacks are reminded that a white guy's on their team if you pull the helmet off and you're celebrating with them. Let's continue with Pastor Rennick, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline.
Hold on, please.
877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to our program. Pastor Rennick, we're talking to you about this, the blacks and whites on the sidelines at college football games, especially this Arizona-Missouri game. You saw a white player celebrating with black players. You say that the black players don't like that.
I'm saying, Phil, when you take your helmet off on the sideline of a football game, well, what I'm trying to tell you is that The black players, I don't mind the white players. The white players, I'm sure, don't mind the black players. But it, with a black player, with a black man, he's reminded of the fact that once he gets off the field and a man taking a helmet off and you're looking at a white man, you say, oh, you see that right there? Now I got this white man. So that when you're on the sideline, you're celebrating with the other players, you just as soon have the white go over to where the white is and you come over to where you are, because the white needs to celebrate with the white.
And well, that's not really being a team, is it?
No, yes, it is being a team, Phil. I'm not talking about you. You are making a much, much bigger deal out of this. Now, look at this. I'm watching this football game right now, and I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe in God Almighty. But I've been pulling for the Arizona State team. I'm looking at Arizona State got mostly whites. But I'm pulling for them. I'm pulling for them because I've always liked Arizona State. Now, what they doing? And look what they did. They're holding their pass interference. And I came out, and my wife said to me, why did you do that? I came out, and I used a curse word. I used a curse word. This is the kind of tension we're talking about in the middle of a football game. I don't need racial issues.
Well, I don't know about you betting on football or using a curse word, and I don't know why it's a racial issue. 877-876-PHIL.
It's a racial issue because all I'm saying is keep the white over there. I'm there. You take the helmet off. I see there's a white man. Now I got money on the game as a spectator, and I'm betting on all these white players. And what are they doing to me? What are they doing to me? You know.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's take a phone call. We have Marty on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Marty.
Phil, this guy is talking about something that is totally not racial. I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We did away with a lot of this type of issue. He's talking about team players taking their helmets off, which is a common practice when they're on the sideline. We did away with this issue when we had a sit-in at the Woolworth store in downtown Chattanooga in the 60s. This guy is way, way off base on what he is saying. This has nothing to do with team sports. This is his own racial conflict that he's trying to create.
I'm not talking about racism. No, sir, I'm not talking about racism. I'm not talking about racism. What I wanted to say is this, sir. You know, and bless you for calling, and bless you for participating in the program tonight. What I'm trying to say is, when you take your helmet off on the sideline, okay, all I'm saying is, when you take your helmet off on the sideline, and I see you look, I'm looking at Marty, and Marty's a white man, and I'm on his team, and I say, oh, look at that, that's a white man. I'd rather the white right now, because what I'm doing is I'm celebrating we got a touchdown. I love my team, I support my team, and I support my white teammate. But it's a little much to ask me to have to stand there looking at him. You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying.
No, I don't understand what you're saying. You're totally off base. You're trying to make a racial issue out of this, sir.
No, sir.
It is not. It has nothing to do with race at all. This guy's a member of a football team that just scored a touchdown.
Right.
He's over there
right.
with his teammate, and it does not matter what color they are. They are all on the same team. They're all celebrating together. I don't understand where you're coming from at all.
Well, let me ask you a question then. Let me ask you a question. Yeah, but let me ask you. No. Let me ask you a question. You know as well as I do, Mark, because you watch football. I watch football. We all watch football. We all know football. When you look at a football game, what you be honest with me. Don't you see the blacks all hanging together? Yes,
no.
You do. Yes,
no.
Yes, you
no.
Do. Yes, you do.
No, you're putting words
you see them.
In my mouth. No, I absolutely do not. I see a team. The team is dressed out in certain colors, whether it's maroon and white, black and gold, whatever the color is. That's the color I see. No, sir, you're absolutely wrong, and I promise
you. No. You missed the football game. You ain't watching the football game. I'm watching it because I seen Arizona State, and this white boy come jumping up and down. All the black players, they all look like, and I'm trying to find a way to. They all look as if somebody just
somebody cut a fart.
So, no, I'm not bringing it up.
Well, let me jump in here. I will. Let me jump in as Phil. I will say one thing. I do notice that I saw a group of black players celebrating with each other, but those were all receivers.
Th-
What does that mean?
I mean when the guy got the touchdown, he came to the sideline. He had other receivers. It was all the receiver corps, and they're all black players. I didn't see any offensive linemen over there high-fiving. I didn't see running backs.
Well, then how come the quarterback is over there?
Because the quarterback threw the ball. Hey, listen, Marty, thanks. Marty, thanks for your call. We're going to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. White players and black players, keep your helmets on the sideline, because once you do, the blacks are reminded that, oh, yeah, they're on a team with whites. That's what Pastor William Renick is saying right now. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Talking about.
Remember. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, as we're talking here to Pastor William Renick, and he is at Joyful Union Congregation. I was actually trying to get the Missouri-Arizona. We got on the TV, Pastor Renick, but...
I'm looking at ESPN on the Internet right now. I got my laptop out here. We got a great many people, and we're having a very successful fundraiser here at Joyful Union, and I don't want necessarily feel to taint the wonderful things that have happened this evening. I don't want you to feel, or any of your listeners to feel, I'm being racial. And if I could...
Well, go ahead and restate what you're trying to say. You said to me that the football players, and this all came about as the result of what you were seeing on TV tonight with this Arizona-Missouri game, right?
Yeah, Arizona State-Missouri game.
Arizona State.
And I looked at a white quarterback. He's jumping around. He's a very, very excited young man, because he had thrown a touchdown pass. And he come over to the black players. And the black players had their helmets off. And the white man had his helmet off. And I saw the blacks turn and look. Now, maybe you got to be black to understand the look on the face of these black players to me. And I'm fairly certain that any other black person, African-American, what have you, was seeing this. They had that look on their face like somebody just walk in a room, you know, that doesn't smell good or something like this. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to give the
in other words, persona not welcome?
Not necessarily welcome, yeah. Now, look, when a white man comes in, you understand something. They are teammates. I'm not saying they're not teammates. It's just that when you take your helmet off on the sideline, suddenly as an African-American, I know this to be true. And that's what makes it very difficult for me to argue with white people about this, because they don't understand it. As an African-American, I know this to be true. When I look at and I see that the man is taking his helmet off, I had this experience, Phil, as a young football player at Bobby Taylor University. But I saw a young tight end we had by the name of Jimmy Kirkpatrick, the white boy. He took his helmet off after the score touchdown. I remember I got this sinking feeling, like, oh, yeah, he's white. I forgot. You know, it wasn't anything more than that.
Oh, yeah, he's white. I forgot.
It was something like, I'm not saying that's exactly what it was.
In other words, it was an unfortunate or an unwelcome realization.
Yeah, it was something I'd avoided. Something that I had avoided facing.
You had avoided facing the fact that you had white players.
Yeah, not so much when you were in practice. Like you were saying, in practice, yes, of course I know I got whites on the team. But in the actual, in the actual football game, I'm all of a sudden, I'm looking over there and say, oh, yeah, you know, and Jimmy Kirkpatrick scored a touchdown. I don't remember this one game. And I looked over there and I said, oh, he took the helmet off. I said, that man's white. And I had forgotten, and I got a kind of a sick feeling, you know.
Well, identify it. What was sick about it? What was sick about it?
Well, it was this. It was that we had, as black people, been forced to work together. Whites weren't going to let us in. So when we finally did begin to work together and we get our act together and we're doing our thing, along come the white man. Now he wants us to play football with him, you know. Now,
let me ask you something, because I'm having a hard time understanding this. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and you said something. If there's a black listeners of mine who understand what you're saying, I'd love to hear from them.
What am I saying you don't understand?
Well, I don't understand what you mean by you looked over at the white player and went, oh, yeah, he's white.
In other words, I just got done telling you, we had a feeling we were getting it together, and now the white said, yeah, guess what? You get to play football with us. You don't have to be in your own football league or football, you know, your own college. And we're like, yeah, okay. And so we play, and now look, oh, yeah, that man's white. Yeah, he white. You know.
And what was this thing you were telling me about 9/11?
All right, 9/11 is a good example. On 9/11, when the people was, after that horrible, horrible event where those jets flew into that those buildings, and that was a horrible thing on 9/11. Now what happened? Now the building fell down. And when the building fell down, if you turned around the corner, you saw this gigantic white cloud that was rolling down the street. And you saw that, Phil, and everybody did.
Yeah.
And it was a terrifying thing to see this gigantic white cloud turn the corner and chase people down the street. That is the sense that you get when you see that. I don't think there's a black person out there who's going to see that, and they're not reminded of that, you know, that one white player pulling that helmet off. You can look at that. Like a black cloud, you know. Or not a black cloud, like a white cloud. You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. You're saying it's terrifying?
It's not that. It ain't terrifying, no. It's just that it's coming at you. It's coming after you. It's a white cloud. It's white. That's the only way I can put it. And I don't know if you know that or not, but...
I've never had that experience. Never in my life have I had that experience.
Well, no, you're not black. What I'm saying is you saw the white cloud.
I saw the white cloud. I saw the white cloud of debris is what you're talking about on 9/11.
Right.
Okay, and that was coming down the street, and it was rolling toward people, and it was a very frightening thing. But I do not, I can't make the connection, and maybe it's because I am white, that white cloud is the same terrifying presence that a white player is when he pulls his helmet off. Is that how you felt when you saw that one guy pull his helmet off?
No, I was not terrified. I'm not trying to say, but I looked and I went, God, you know, as soon as I said it, and I'm a preacher, and I don't... And I love God, but I use some rough language. I use some rough language. I will be very, very honest with you. But when I turned and I looked and I saw that white man, he pulled the helmet off, I said, damn, you know, damn, here it comes. It's coming after me now, you know.
It's coming after you now.
Yeah, in much the same way. This was long before there was 9/11. There was no 9/11.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL, Mavis. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Mavis, go ahead.
I'm calling up about the man on preacher on the program.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, my name is Mavis Leonard. I live in Southgate, California. I have listened to you, and I'm telling you now, I have never heard anything like that.
Ma'am, can I ask you a question? You didn't play football, you a woman.
Of course I never played football. I am a woman. I'm talking about my nephew Robert, and I've had many men in my family have never played football. I've never heard any of them say that they'll see a white man pull his helmet off and they think it's a cloud or some kind of a vapor.
No, I'm not saying they're a vapor, you know.
I think he's using it as a symbolism, you know.
I heard this preacher on here, and I've never been to a church. If I find out what your church is, I will never go, and I never want to go on a church like yours, and that is the truth.
Ma'am, I'm not trying to, ma'am, you know, we all believe in God, you know.
I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I don't know about you because you're saying things, I think, that divide people.
Well, you know, Pastor, can I just jump in here?
Oh, hold on, Phil, okay? Hold on, there's two black people talking, all right? Just hold on, all right? If you don't mind,
I don't play that two black people talking. You let Mr. Henry talk if he wants to. I've got some... one of these new age black or new age Negro like you have.
And I'm not a new age Negro. I am I'm just a man trying to run a church the best of my ability. All right.
I don't think you're running the best of your ability, Pastor, if you are saying that when a white man takes his helmet off on a football field, that black people are going to get scared because they think he's a big cloud.
He was using that, Mavis.
People, this is black people stuff, okay?
This is my show, Pastor. I have to jump in. Ms. Leonard?
Yeah, I want to hear from Mr. Henry. I don't play, I'm not playing any of your black people this, black people that. You understand me? Yes, ma'am.
All I'm saying, Mavis, is that I think the pastor, and I'm standing up for you here, pastor, that it was a symbolism.
This is something between blacks. You know.
Am I not getting it right, okay? Am I not getting it right?
Hold on. You say something about blacks and him, Mr. Henry, trying very, very different. He's trying to defend you. I know he's trying to defend me, but he's butchering it. He's butchering it left and right. What I'm trying to say is when a white man takes his helmet off on the sideline, the same feeling, the sinking feeling that you get when you're in 9/11 and you've seen that cloud come down the street and you say, damn, that cloud's going to get me now. I thought I was free. I thought I was free from the plane that hit the building. Now look at that. Here come a cloud.
I've never heard of anyone going to be afraid of a cloud, and I've never heard of anyone going to be afraid of a white cloud is the same way as a white man taking a helmet off. You sound like you need help. You sound like you need a doctor.
No, but it was a symbolic thing that he was saying, Mavis, meaning that somehow that white cloud that everybody saw from the debris on 9/11 rolling down the street, it's the same sinking feeling that a black player gets when a white guy takes his helmet off.
I heard what he said, Mr. Henry. That you don't have to try and clean it up. I think this pastor needs help. I think he needs a doctor.
Who am I talking about? Get a doctor. Who's that?
That's my nephew. Hold on, Robert, please.
Hold
on, Robert. Please shut your mouth, Robert. That is my nephew. He is very outraged.
Your nephew, let me talk to your nephew. Have you ever played football, son? Have you ever played football?
Yeah, I played football. City championship, Birmingham High.
He played on a city championship football team, Birmingham High, L.A. L.A. City.
You played L.A. City? That's what I said. I don't stutter. That talks smart to me.
My nephew is a big boy. He played left guard. He played right guard. He interchanged at tackle. They moved in the center. He big. He big and he bad, all right?
What's beside you? I'm 6'6", 30. You play pro ball? What? I said you play pro ball. I don't play no pro ball now.
He don't play no pro ball because he's stupid. He didn't, couldn't. You know.
All right, hold on. I got to take another call here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to Rebecca. Rebecca, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Pastor William Rennick.
Hey, Phil, we love you.
Yes, thank you.
Would you tell him to go home and sit in his rocking chair and let us take care of the ball games with black boys and white boys have played football, basketball, when they were 2 and 3 years old together? He's trying to incite a riot here. Is all he's trying to do.
No, I ain't trying to incite no riot. You're a white woman. What do you know about it? You're a white woman. What do you know about it?
You don't know nothing about modern times.
Oh, you sound like you all up to date. You sound like you all up to date.
No, you ain't.
You know, you sound like you in the rocking chair, not me.
I am, but heck, I still got a good mind, knowing you hadn't.
If you got a good mind, let me ask you a question. Are you black or are you white? Are you black or are you white?
I can be anything I want to be.
No, you can't be black, I'll tell you that. And you ain't black.
I
can tell by that answer.
I
bet that answer, you ain't black, and so you don't know what it's like a black man when he sees a white man take his helmet off.
When I was a baby drinking, sucking milk from a breast, I was sucking from a black one.
When you were a baby in 1840, that's what they did. But this is the modern...
All right, don't insult people.
That's about how old you are. Yeah, I bet you did, because that's
boat,
the last... No, that's the last time they did that was around pre-slavery. It was like slavery days.
Racism,
and let me ask you
racism,
something. If
racism,
you tell them racism...
That's all you
want to
do.
Racism? Your mama's the one who...
problem without you, old
that
fool.
Black breast that you say you're sucking out of your daddy bought on an auction block someplace.
Get out of town.
Nah, you won't. You won't. That's the problem. You won't.
All right. Let's take a break.
No, nothing about nothing.
Oh, you old white women. You know, all you want to do is talk about the good old days when you had a black man chasing you around, catching a softball.
No,
ball,
I
sorry.
Had never had a slave in my life. It's
not
a husband.
Until you got a husband. That's funny. Yeah, that's funny. That's the first funny thing. That's the first funny thing I heard all day.
Yeah, I had a husband.
Hey,
Claire,
did you hear that?
I think that's very funny, yeah.
Yeah, all right, well, I know that's all right. I'll tell you that right now.
All right, look, we've got to take a break.
What's that?
You're not playing.
What'd you call me?
You keep saying you're a Christian. God's
I'm a Christian man. Let me tell you something.
Racism.
Let me tell you something. I'm a Christian man, and I believe in the harmony of the races. And all I'm trying to tell you,
make me believe.
I ain't inciting no riot. Oh, get over yourself. I ain't inciting no riot. I'm trying to talk about how when you take a helmet off, you say you play football? Boy, that scares me. But if you did, and you pull that helmet off on the sideline, that'd scare the hell out of me. I'll say that.
All right.
You do.
I don't think so. Okay, let me ask you something. Really? How many downs to get a first? How many downs to get a first down?
10.
Downs, not yards. Wow!
All right. You thought you meant yard. Thank you very, very much, Rebecca, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
I want to finish talking to this,
Ben. We have to take a break there. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, as our fine announcer just told you. With me is Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower. And nobody's putting down the great work you do, Pastor, and no one is saying that you're not a man of that you don't love and care for your congregation, of many of whom are white. I understand that. But when you say that a white player pulls his helmet off on the sidelines and the black players react as if there was just a bad smell came into the room, what are people supposed to think?
Well, what I'm hoping people would think, and I want to thank you for what you said, but what I'm hoping people would think is that I'm trying to explain, I don't mean anything by it, I'm just telling you, it's been a long road for blacks and whites. It's been a long road for men and women. It's been a long road for all people of this world. But you got to slow down and give me a chance here, because when a man pulls his helmet off and I just scored a touchdown and I feel good about myself, maybe for the first time in my life I feel good about myself. I scored a touchdown.
Well,
I scored a touchdown! And then I come to the sideline, I look over at the man that threw the touchdown pass, got his helmet on. I go, this is my teammate. He pulls his helmet off, and what do I see? I see a big cloud coming down Fifth Avenue.
And that's the thing that I don't understand, this attaching it to 9/11, I think is wrong. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Frank. Go ahead, Frank. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor William Renick.
Yes, sir. In regards to the comment the pastor was making, my feelings on this is, like, when you're playing football, you're playing as a team. You're not playing as an individual. It's not one person making a touchdown. It's the team that makes the touchdown. And when you're, like, being on a football team, it's about teamwork. It's not about you making the touchdown. It's about the team making the touchdown.
I understand. What
you're saying confuses me, because if you're talking about, again, we're going to attach this to 9/11, and 9/11, when that debris and dove came down, in a very tragic moment for America.
Right, exactly.
We can't put labels like race on people right now. And besides, when that dove came down, everybody looked the same color anyways.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question man to man. Just you and me. Now, you know, this got nothing to do with race now. I'm going to ask you a question, Frank. When you pick that girl up for a date that you met, say, the week before, maybe the bar was a little dark, maybe you'd had a little bit too much to drink, who knows, it's all right, it's okay, but when you pick her up for that date, and she opens that door, and all of a sudden she ain't all that great looking, like you remembered she was, because maybe you'd had a little, that's all I'm talking about. I'm talking about when he takes that helmet off and goes, oh, geez, it's a white man. You know,
wait a minute. Wait a second. You're saying
I'm sorry, Phil. I don't mean to interrupt you, but
go ahead, Frank.
We're attaching racial issues to being drunk the night before and picking a girl up. I don't see how that relates either. I mean,
No, what I'm saying is,
football was about teamwork. 9/11 was about teamwork too. 9/11 was a tragedy. It brought this country together.
Of course it did, and it should have, and it did. But when you see that white cloud coming down the street from the debris, and everybody looking at that and saying, "Oh my God, look at that," it's almost the same way when that man take his helmet off, and I see blonde hair and blue eyes, and he's the guy that.
So would you feel better if the cloud was black?
Well, if the cloud was black, I would not relate it to anything other than 9/11. But because it's a white cloud, I there's one more thing I attach to it.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's childish. That's ridiculous. You know what?
That is terribly childish.
What are you talking about?
I'm 26 years old, and I'm still young by anybody's standards. And I believe I'm more mature than this man talking here. You know, and
a second, sir.
Man, for being a pastor. You, sir, you're a pastor. You're a man of the cloth. That is a respectable profession.
Thank you, sir.
What you're saying right now is very disrespectful to everybody who's listening, to everybody in America.
I love you as well. I love you, son. I love you. I love everybody. I'm just saying, when I opened the door and there's that girl that I thought was going to be a bathing beauty and she got a face that's a little trucked out, I'm like, oh, man. But I'm still going to date.
Oh, bro. Thanks very much, Frank. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.